Lost you there. You good?
Yeah, we're back. This is part two with Misa. So, what were you saying, man? You're saying so we've lacked vulnerability as the body of Christ.
Right. I'm not sure when I lost you because I actually went rambling on for like 15 minutes there before I noticed that you were gone. But yeah, yes, the church needs to work on its vulnerability. We need to work on letting people know that we're broken, that we have messed up too, and that they can join us on this walk. Like, we're all walking forward together, you know. So it's both, you know. It's the world and the devil working to just like make us look like we're bigoted and like we're idiots, but yeah, it's also us failing to show people that we mess up, you know, that we aren't perfect, and that, but it is, you know, but it is in our weakness that God is made strong.
For sure, man. And I think I spoke to you when I first asked you to be on this, and I told you, I was like, that's like the main goal of this, you know, transparency, vulnerability, relatability, for people to know, man, like, hey, me and you are believers. Me and you go through things. We deal with things. We face struggles. But you know what? That's part of the walk. Like you said, we're never going to be perfect. Never going to be perfect. And that's okay. Obviously, we want to learn from our mistakes. Obviously, we want to better on it. But we're never going to be 100% perfect.
Right. You know, it's by the grace of God that we're here, that we're living, that we're alive, that we get to do things like podcasts, you know.
Yeah, right. It's so true, man. So true. And you know, it's funny because pornography is like, I remember reading a statistic. It's like if you ask people in church, right, like how many of them used to watch pornography, and it was like 90%. I might be fudging the numbers a little bit, but it was upwards of 70%. And then it was like, all right, how many still watch it occasionally or every so often? And I want to say it was like 50%.
Yeah, that's big numbers.
It sounds scary, but then we think about it. We're human beings, man. And, you know, it's not to say an excuse. We know that, you know, watching pornography is a sin, but sometimes it takes a while for us to be able to overcome that. And, you know, society just kind of keeps us in this vicious cycle. Of, you know, throwing sex at our face, over-sexualized things, commercials, movies. They change the ratings of TV shows late at night so more they can get away with more things. You name it.
Music. Yeah, it's tough. You know, the world is definitely throwing us. Why? Mm-hmm. Just everything. Just everything, mm-hmm. You know. Like I just be watching a movie on Netflix and I'm or a TV show or something, and I'm just trying to have a good time, and then there's a huge sex scene and it's like, all right, well, Jesus, like
thanks. I can't, well, this movie's kinda ruined for me.
You know, and for, you know, like me, sometimes those things can little trigger, you know, and
yeah.
With pornography addiction, if that's not cool, like and it has an effect, and then you like pray for like 3 days straight or something. I don't know, whatever it is that we do, whatever. But it does have a negative effect. So this world is literally like us and trying to pull us down, and it's weird, you know. And I think things we talked about on the phone, the call that puts on us as a church to talk about it.
Yeah.
Talk about that we a lot of times talk with, and things that bless your house or and that's amazing. And
Misa, you're cutting things, in and out. I don't know if it's your signal.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Can you repeat like the are last 20 seconds of what you were saying?
What was I saying? Oh, right, just the call that the attacks of the world puts on the church to talk about sexuality, and to talk about things like pornography, to talk about lust, to talk about how to handle those things, you know, and just the lack that we have had so far in doing that, because we don't often teach about things or hear about those things in church because they're dirty words. But the world is teaching kids those things, you know. The world is throwing us darts, and I think if we're not arming our fellow Christians, our children, our people, then we're we're disqualifying them from the battle. Very true. You know, we need to give them an idea or a mentality, a prayer, or something to help them handle with the things that the enemy is going to keep throwing at them, because it's tough, man. Those chains, once they latch on, they're hard to break. They're hard to let go of. 9 years of my life, just like stuck and wanting to break and wanting to receive that and get out of that and wanting it so bad, but just not being able to stop myself, you know, not being able to let go of it. And I really wanted to. It wasn't that there was a part of me that like just there's times where I was like self-hate, all of those things, just wanting to let go of it, and shame and guilt and doubt, and even messing with my relationships and things like that,
for sure.
And all of that, and a lot of it has to do with one, I take like the blame of myself, like the own choices that I make, but a lot of it also, like, talking about it from a young age as an 11-year-old, 12-year-old, like you don't know any better than to just do what everybody else is doing. So it really puts a call on us to talk to our 11-year-old, 12-year-olds, and like hey, listen, I know this is a really uncomfortable topic. Shoot, I don't want to be talking about this with you, but the world is going to be talking about it with you. So I need to be able to let you know, like this is real. This is what is going on out there. This is what purity means. This is what holiness is. This is what real love looks like. This is what joy looks like. These other things are traps that can ensnare you, that can hurt you physically, that can hurt other people around you. You know, whatever it is that we teach it, you know, we
so true. It just reminds me, actually, I remember, I don't remember when exactly it happened. I want to say it was like 13, 14, maybe 12, 13. My mom, you know, I grew up with a single mom. So my mom's like, oh, he's going through puberty. Oh, heck no. I'm not having this talk with him. So what she did was she got Gio's dad, Pastor Hugo, to sit down. And she spoke to, you know, obviously Gio had to be there. His dad was giving the talk. A friend of mine, a friend of ours, Will. I guess my mom had spoken to his parents, and Will was there. And another one of my friends, Jendi, she had spoken to his mom. And all four of us sat down, and Pastor Hugo explained to us certain aspects of puberty and what was going to happen, and you know, that there is going to be sensations and stuff like that. Not to get too into it, but he gave us the rundown on what happens with puberty, pornography, masturbation, stuff like that. And he's like, this is what purity means. And, you know, you got to guard yourself. And at that moment, I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that. And wouldn't you know, when I first, like, really, really myself exposed myself to it, that all went out the window. But I had that basis, you know, that has been able to sustain me, believe it or not. So, yeah, I think it's definitely a talk that needs to be had.
For sure.
Some more questions I had for you was, so tell me about, like, the first time you had a supernatural encounter with God.
Well, I think we have to define
supernatural. Very, very true. So how would you define supernatural? In your terms,
more than that, I think. So for me, this is really weird experience where I go to a church that's very, very, like, you might say old fashioned, but it's very about like that kind of spiritual real aspect to it, where it's like, you know, speaking in tongues, people falling down, modesty blankets, stuff like that. And that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think growing up, like, I've literally just always felt like the only one who didn't understand what was going on. like, always. Like, my brothers knew what was going on. My mom and my dad definitely knew what was going on. Everybody around me knew what was going on, but I had no clue what was going on, you know, in church. Like, when things like that were happening, I really just didn't know. And so a lot of times, so I had to realize that that God had a different plan for me than he did for. So when we're talking about supernatural, I think a lot of the times we put our hearts and our minds and our eyes set on those things. like speaking in tongues or spiritual gifts, healing, prophecy. And that's all beautiful. And that is supernatural. But I have found in my life and in my experience, the extra natural or the more than natural, or the superpowered, or the grace and the love and the awesomeness of God comes through unique ways to everybody. Yeah. So for me, although I have experienced that eventually, when I first started becoming Christian, when I first really started praying, it didn't necessarily come through a huge feeling, but it came through an understanding of what faith was, an understanding of who God was. I encountered his scripture and began to encounter. I began to encounter his scripture and encounter his word and encounter his love. Not through a huge encounter or a huge feeling, but through getting to know him by praying every day, getting to know him by reading the Bible every day, you know. And then I did eventually have those kind of supernatural, and you know, by that definition, where it's less like a huge great feeling, I did begin to have those encounters much later. But that for me has definitely not been the mark of my faith, or the strongest point of my faith, or even the first real supernatural encounter. By my definition of supernatural encounter, I would say the first encounter that I had with God was through those prayers every day that summer after my junior year.
Amen. That's completely fine. That's why I asked your first supernatural encounter. I completely agree with you. Anytime God works in you, that's supernatural. It's not just laying of hands. It's not just, like you said, those are great things. And those are other experiences, you know, that definitely, if your faith was weak, you know, it's a great way of reaffirming your faith sometimes too. That's why I asked what was yours. And that's cool, man. The first time, you know, you feel like that weight being lifted off your shoulders when you're praying, that's supernatural. I remember as a kid, man, sometimes I would just pray and then I'd feel better when I was done praying. I consider that supernatural too, because like, that's not normal. That's not like normal. Like, you know, why I said, go ahead, define it. And, you know, anything out of the natural, it's true. You know, that's not something that happens, you know, I guess what you could say normally, or something that should happen. So thank you for sharing that. It's true, man. That's cool. The supernatural is different in so many different ways. So thank you for sharing that. Now, what did I want to ask you? In total, we've been like 45 minutes in, so I feel like I burned through all my questions. No, I'm just kidding. So today, what are some of the things you find very difficult to deal with being a Christian? Give me like two or three.
You mean today for me, or today as a Christian in general? Today for me, the difficulties of being a Christian. I think, let's see, dealing with pride is one. And I think that's one that's in general, but also extremely personal to me. I have been recognizing in my life, just every day, how much I have been self-centered, how focused I usually am on myself and on making sure that I am satisfied, on making sure that my needs are met, or on making sure that that my voice and my opinion is heard. That I think a lot of times I forget that my life and the way I live is ultimately glory to God. So right now, I'm finding just in my life, like I'm trying to battle the inclinations I have towards like my own self-righteousness and things like that, like putting myself on a pedestal. So, you know, like every day we're walking down the street and we see a homeless guy, and immediately I think the first thought that comes to most of our heads are, shoot, like he's in this position because he did something wrong, or he deserved it. And so for me, like I don't necessarily think that anymore, but I've been battling those kind of thoughts every day in my mind, and trying to make sure that I'm not putting other people down and lifting myself up, you know? I don't like this us and
Yes.
And so I'm, and I think I still have it in a lot of ways, but I'm trying to really rid myself of that, of thinking like, this is the bad guy and I'm the good guy and I need to fix this person, or this person needs to fix themselves. Really seeing the homeless person on the street, I feel like the Christian way is to see this person as a brother, see this person as somebody who needs God just as much as I do, and uplifting them. What we, you know, and that's like whatever homeless person you have in your life, you know, whether it is your brother, right, you, or anybody else. Like, if you see an issue with somebody else, A, first look at whatever issues you have, right? That's what Jesus says. Don't pick out the speck in your brother's eye when you have a plank in your own. And B, see this person as somebody that you can work together with to push forward. And I think in my life, I think I have been fighting against that mentality for so long that I began to look at those who I feel like have that mentality as an us and them. So, you know, like, it's like, oh, I'm fighting pride, I'm fighting pride. And I see people with pride and I'm like, oh, you suck. And, but that's like being prideful. Like, it's like, am I helping these people or am I putting them down, you know?
I get you, man.
And so for me, like, I've been trying to handle that. Other things in my Christian walk, just trying to figure out what I want to do for the rest of my life. Stuff like that. I don't know what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I'm a 19-year-old kid trying to figure that out. But, you know, I trust God in the middle of that personally.
That's cool, man. Do you feel like, and it's something I'm kind of working on myself, do you feel like sometimes we close ourselves off from, maybe it's being scared or of agreeing with other people, or just not wanting or being too prideful to want to hear what other people believe in or where they stand? Is that something you struggle with? It's something I kind of, you know, battle on a daily basis. Do you feel it's something you struggle with?
Well, I don't think the fear is not wanting to hear people. I think the fear is not wanting to be contaminated, right? Okay. Quote unquote. Okay. That's not my word, but that's the word that we use. And it's not a complete illegitimate fear. Talking to people and hearing things and speaking to people on a wide variety of things can, in essence, it does have the potential to deter your own faith and for sure. But I found in my own life that if I have God as the foundation of my heart, of my mind, and my belief, when I hear things, talking to other people about their own faith, whatever it is, it's a Muslim or an atheist, that it adds to my faith. It doesn't take away from it.
That's good, man. I'm glad to hear you, you know. And obviously, you know, if you're a newborn Christian, perhaps it wouldn't be the wisest thing. I mean, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't.
Well, you got to figure out your own faith first.
Because some people aren't comfortable enough having those conversations, and you got to.
I think it's more than comfort. I think it's necessary to have those kind of conversations. How can we expect people to listen to what we believe in if we're not willing to listen to what they believe in? I think we have to come to a point where we're willing to go to a mosque and preach to people, you know, and there are risks.
Of course.
But there are people right now in Afghanistan or all these places. I don't know. I don't know about history and war. I'm really like uneducated in it. But you know, in those places where there's ISIS and in the middle of those places, preaching to people from ISIS. You know, so there are risks. Yes, but the gospel is so much bigger than that, and it takes taking risks to save souls.
I was gonna say, being comfortable with being uncomfortable. There are people who need to realize, like you said, you know, and it's, again, it's something I challenge myself to do on a daily basis. But yeah, man, you're right. When you stop being so self-centered and realize that we have it, you know, we have it a little bit easier here in the U.S. than perhaps somebody in Afghanistan or somebody in China, you know, sometimes it takes a while for that to hit home, for you to be like, all right, God, I just kind of got to suck it up, peel the Band-Aid off, and go out and do it. And it's not easy. It's not easy. You know, it's not easy.
Yeah, of course, not always. But I think that there's a recognition of like, the God that we serve. and just how good he is, you know. Like, when you think about the gospel, what it means to say Jesus died for you on the cross for real, what it means when we say God is good. When you think about your own testimony, when I think about my own testimony, right, the loneliness that God has brought me off, the chains that he set me free from, all of those things, I have to share that, you know. You got to share that. Like if you had the cure for cancer, I use this metaphor a lot. Like, wouldn't you want to share that with people? Like, there's a sick world out there, and we want to heal it. Like, I for me, what has motivated me so much to try to share my faith has been seeing the brokenness in people. Like, I have noticed the gaps in people's hearts and minds, the yearning for something bigger, and it has made me recognize that I need to share this because people are hurting. And I and the way that I can help is giving them what I got, and what I got is Jesus, and that's awesome.
That's so true, and that's so cool. You know, the goal is obviously for all of us in some way, shape, or form. And I say all of us, I mean the whole body of Christ. You know, to grasp that. I'm not claiming to be perfect at it. I'm not claiming to do it all the time, but
no, you're for sure perfect.
Yeah, right, for sure. I do this podcast because, you know, nobody can do a better one. No, I'm just kidding. No, man, that's super cool. You know, and I think it's something we talked about, and we could touch upon a little bit. I think another thing that affects us as believers nowadays is society has made it so hard for us to have conversations, right? To just be able to talk and not be mad, right? How was it you said, and not be concerned with who wins the shouting match?
Yeah, for sure. I think as Christians, for sure, but everybody, we get far too concerned with trying to win the conversation rather than trying to win over the person. We when we're talking to people, we are like talking, and maybe we're going back and forth, but like when we start going back and forth too much, we're like blah blah blah, and then shoot, maybe at the end of the conversation you're right, but then what did that do, you know? When I'm talking, when I'm sharing with people, it's not to be right and for them to be wrong. It is to share the love of God with that person. How do I share the love of God with that person? Not by yelling at them and trying to prove my point. Oh, you're such a bigot. Oh, you're such an idiot. How does that help anybody? All that does is boost your own self-esteem somehow. The point is to save a soul. And if the point is to save a soul, you're not picking apart the person personally. Oh, you're this, you're that. You're not hurt. You're changing their concept of who Christ is. You're trying to fill them with the Holy Spirit. You know, whatever it is that you're trying to do, it is not winning an argument. Mm. It is gaining somebody for the kingdom of God. You know, so we get far too caught up in trying to prove who's right and who's wrong, and who cares? Who cares who's right and who's wrong? Like what matters is the gospel, the truth, who cares who knows more?
That's true, man. Do you find yourself, especially having, you know, going to NYU, you know, as the New York City is probably one of the most politically charged places in the U.S., having to defend your faith a lot?
Yes, but not in the way that you would
think. Yeah, tell me more.
I don't have to defend it directly. People don't attack me. NYU has been beautiful because they are very open-minded. Mm-hmm. They are very, the people there, the staff, the students, they've been very kind to me. What I have found a lot is that people have these ingrained misconceptions about Christianity. Like, you ever meet somebody who's like racist, but like not, they're not intentionally racist, they just don't realize like how they have grown up like with these racist things.
For sure.
Like they'll say something like I don't know, something weird like, oh, you know, like, oh, that's because you're black, or you know, something like that, and like, all right, that was not cool.
I get what you're saying, though. It's the way they were raised. They weren't exposed to
to things like that, so they're not intentionally being racist, but they just have a misconception about whatever it is. So, like, it's the same kind of thing I find a lot, all the time. People just have a real big misconception about Christianity, and the associations with it, like I said, over all over media are, like, idiotic. Like, everywhere you see Christians acting like religious bigots, people, Christians acting like there's no TV, like maybe, I don't know if there is one, but most TV shows, the Christian guy is always like a loser. Like he's always like some guy who never has fun and blah, 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 blah. And so they have that conception in their mind. So it'll come up in conversation a lot. And so I find myself trying to a lot prove the conceptions that they have about Christianity wrong through what I'm saying. Like they'll say something like, "Oh, Christians never have any fun," and then I'm like, "Well, who told you that? Like, what makes you think that? Like, what? Like, I have a lot of fun, you know, like blah, blah, blah." And B, through my example, you know, they'll be like, "All the Christians I ever met in my life were hateful," and then it's like, "Oh, am I hateful?" You know, how blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And especially with in NYU, which is just so charged with a bunch of which huge diverse culture and things like that. People in NYU have been met with a lot of things like racism or discrimination against homosexuality and things like that. And people have been met with a lot of hate. And so to see a Christian who loves completely, like, a lot of the times it blows their mind. They're like, shoot, like, how are you a Christian? Because all the Christians in their lives or whatever it is on TV, you know, are terrible people. I don't know who they are, but you know what I'm saying? Like their conceptions of Christianity are manipulated. They're not good. So when you come as somebody who loves, as somebody who shares, as somebody who is graceful, it like changes their mindset. And I find myself being very intentional about trying to be that person, as well as constantly talking to people about like what the reality of the gospel is, what the reality of Christianity is, and it has strengthened my own faith too in a lot of ways because I've had to learn how to express it in different
ways. Cool, man. So true, you know, and the word says it right. It kind of says it's like, you know, you'll reach more people with your actions, you know, than words sometimes, you know. Let me retract that statement. The word doesn't say it, but it's something I found true in life. That your actions will speak louder than words, you know, a lot of the time, you know, and sometimes, like you said, just having a conversation. And then when they realize, oh, you're a Christian, you know, I think that sometimes speaks out more volumes, right? I mean, obviously sometimes they'll know, or sometimes it'll just come up in a conversation, right? Gio actually spoke about it. I don't know if you listened to the episode. He was talking about how like this lady who works in the same place he does found out his parents were pastors. And she was said to him, like, why are we friends? And she's lesbian. And he's like, what does that have to do? And he's like, don't you, like, hate me? He's like, have I ever, like, once showed that I hate you? Like, that's not what this is about.
Yeah, yeah. I've had the same. Like, I have a friend who once, he's gay. And he once told me, like, oh, I have something to tell you, before he had come out. And so eventually he came out to me, and my first reaction was like, intentionally, I was like, oh, you know, why was that so hard for you to tell me? And he was like, oh, because of your beliefs. He was like, because I don't want you to hate me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't hate you. And he was like, oh, but don't you think it's wrong, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, don't get me wrong. Yes, you know. Like the Bible that say that homosexuality is wrong, and I'm a follower of the scripture, I'm a follower of Christianity, and I found this to be the truth ultimately. But I love you, and it's not up to me to make your decisions for you. It's up to me to show you love, you know, and whatever happens, happens. But it's for me to love you. I'm not here to hate you. You know, and me and that kid are still friends. Even now, he knows what I believe, and I know who he is, and the choices that each other has made, and the people that we are, and we're still friends after that, you know, right now, but like the idea that you can't be friends with somebody who disagrees with you is going on a lot, especially because in this political time that we're in, that's so dumb. That's like the dumbest thing I ever heard. You're supposed to be friends with people who are just like you. Then what's the point of having friends if they're just like you? They're not edifying you. You're not edifying them. You're just the same person.
It's so true. You know, I found my train of thought again. I almost lost it. I think you had mentioned to me that story before about your friend who came out to you, right? And I liken, you know, anything, whether somebody is gay, to any other, you know, difference in lifestyle. I remember a friend of mine, Will, he had asked me, he was like, you know, he had posted something and he was like, dude, I'm getting a lot of heat for posting this about me not supporting same-sex marriage. And he's like, what do I do? And I was like, okay, this is what you just tell them we have a disagreement of opinion. Like, that's it. Like, when did it become so wrong for us to have differences of opinion? Like, you know, that's not the end of the world.
I think the, like, so like looking at it from their points of view, right? Like I understand that for them, like the whole belief system is different. The foundation for their belief system is different. Right. So like if somebody came up to me, he was like, oh, I hate black people. Mm-hmm. I hate Dominicans. It might be hard for me not to just accept that, right? So they're seeing what we say as the same thing, right? Or if somebody said, I disagree with the fact that you're black, then it's like, okay, you know, because for them, like homosexuality is something that you're born with.
Yeah, of course.
So I understand their point of view to an extent, but I think that it's still wrong because if you're not willing to have conversations, if you're not willing to talk about these things, how are you ever going to convince me or find out the truth by letting, like, you know what I'm saying? You think I'm wrong. Okay, fine. Yeah. Talk to me. So that you can try to prove me wrong, or maybe I'll prove you wrong. The conversation that we're having, you know, we're gonna keep talking about it, you know. And then T.D. Jakes, I once heard him in a preacher, he's talking about the most successful people they ever know are people that spend their time yelling at each other, arguing with each other, whatever, at work, and then afterwards go and grab lunch together and talk, because difference if we're celebrating true love or true I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. I don't want to say equality, but true freedom, right? True freedom of speech, true freedom of space, true freedom of religion, then that means that we need to give space for everybody to believe what they believe and to be able to speak on what they believe, no matter what their belief is. And I'm all down for that, because I think it's through freedom of religion that we find and are able to convince other people for, you know? People are like, oh, Christians are against freedom of religion. I'm not at all. That's what allows me to be free in my religion and talk to you about it, you know?
No, it's true, man. You know, it's crazy. And I'm going to make 2 points. It was one time Bexy was talking about how, like, we can't judge anyone, right? So shout out to Bexy if you're listening. And for those of you who don't know, Bexy is a super amazing, talented worshiper, loving friend of ours. So shout out to you, Bexy. She was speaking about how, right, when we point the finger at somebody, right, normally it's like almost like the gun point, right? Like where you have the thumb up and the three fingers, right? She said, like, when you point the finger at somebody, right, she's like, three fingers are pointing back at you and one is pointing up to the sky. And I was convinced that she just said some nonsense on the spot. But then I thought about it. I was like, when you point at somebody, you do have three fingers pointing at you. And it's like, who are you to point fingers? Who are you to, like, say this, this, and that? Right? When we take ourselves out of the equation, like you said, when people say Christians are against freedom of religion, they're kind of becoming what they're against. They're trying to oppress us because they think we're oppressing them. And I'm not saying that they can't voice their opinion. Obviously they can, but it's very delicate. Like it comes to, like you said, being able to just hear each other out and understand where we come from and be able to say, okay, we agree to disagree, but hey, let's go grab lunch. Or hey, like, we can still be friends. Or hey, if you don't want to be my friend, that's cool. Just know I don't hate you.
I still care about you. You're still a person. You still have rights.
It's true. And, you know, and I don't want to get too political, but, you know, freedom of expression is for everybody, right? As long as my view is, and I hate, I don't like using this term too much, but, man, if I can voice my views in a non-violent, non-hurtful, non-aggressive way, cool. Because I'm all for, you know, the marches and the parades, I don't agree with that, but hey, they're expressing their rights. But when they start like attacking people, whoever, be it whatever view, whatever movement, whatever it is, I don't agree with that at all for anybody.
Yeah, because they have the right to voice their own opinion. They have the right to speak up. What? And if I take away their right, then
of course, for sure. So it's just finding that balance of being able to express yourself, but also letting somebody express themselves as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And in that, that is where we truly get the opportunity to share the gospel, right? We're not just winning the argument. We're winning the person.
It's like, all right, I'll hear you out if you hear me out. You know, like, I think that's a great way, you know, like you said, not winning the argument, caring about them as a person. And hey, if they say, oh, thank you for sharing that, but you know, I'm stick to my guns, I still love you anyway. Still love you anyway. One more question I had for you was, what is something you would say, you know, you spoke about how it was to be a pastor's kid, and this turned into something completely different, which is fine, because again, the purpose of this podcast is also to peel back the misconception of believers. That society and culture and even some knucklehead believers have, you know, cast for everyone that calls himself a believer or a Christian. What would you say, what would some sound advice you'd give to some pastor's kids? And for the record, pastor's kids have the reputation of being like the worst.
Thank you.
Not you. You're perfect.
And just hold on. I think you got to find people that you can trust. Mm-hmm. So pastor's kids, if you're out there, or just kids growing up in church. I was blessed enough to have a Christian club in my high school. I think most pastor's kids end up the way they do, with like the whole stigma, yes, they're rough, and they don't, because they try to escape from church, and then they escape into whatever it is, you know, drugs, or maybe just, you know, a group of kids at school, or whatever it is. I, by the grace of God, escape into another group of Christians, the Christian club of high school. And so for me, I would just say, you know, A, honor your father. But yo, get some friends that you can trust, like get some good Christian solid people that you can talk to about whatever. If you're going to your own church,
you're cutting out again.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Like, yeah, they don't have to go to your church, because I know that if they go into your church, you're like, oh, we'll get back to your parents.
Yeah.
So find Christian people. If you find them on Facebook, you know, just people that you can trust in faith, and share and be weak with, and that will build you up. You know, not people that will like you yell at you when you mess up, but that will encourage you and build you up. Because that's what it's all. That's not what it's all about. But that is huge.
Yeah.
In this walk, just having people that you can trust.
Sure.
And if I didn't have that, I don't know where I'd be right now.
That's cool, man. This conversation was way different than before, but I like it, because that means it's not like rehearsed or anything.
That's true.
What is one thing you as a person would like to change in the church as a whole?
Me personally?
Yeah, personally.
One thing? No, I'm kidding. The church is great. I think we touch on a lot of things. What is one thing I would like to change the church as a whole? Well, we're talking about the church as a whole, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of churches that are doing a lot of great things. So we criticize the church as a whole a lot. But there are a lot of ministries moving in God. And so maybe one thing that we haven't already talked about that I would think is that understanding.
Yes.
That, like, yo, my church isn't the only church doing it the right way.
Ooh, yes.
We are one body of Christ. We're united. Amen. And we're all fighting the same fight. So let's work together. Amen. We spend so much time thinking, this preacher said this, and I disagree with this, and this preacher did that, and I disagree with that. And this, that, and this, that, and this, that. And maybe your claims have some validity. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, yo, we're all fighting the same fight. Mm-hmm. We're all trying to honor God the best way that we can. The enemy is out there creating division, creating all of these things, attacking the world that's full of brokenness, full of so much pain, man. I don't know. I've seen so much pain in these past few years in other people. Mm-hmm. There's so much hurt out there in the world, so many crises, so much brokenness, and where we can't be divided.
Yeah.
So if there's one thing that I could change, if there's one message that I could give to every pastor out there in church, it's like, yo, let's stop fighting one another and let's push forward together against this enemy.
Amen, man. So true. It's crazy that you said that. Apostle, my pastor, he spoke about that at the beginning of the year. And he was like, it's time for us to really drop these acts of like superiority. He's like, I don't care what your denomination is. If I can tell by looking at you, Jesus is at the center of what you're doing, and you're doing things, you know, correctly, so to say, because no church does everything completely correctly. We're not perfect, but
right.
You know, like you said, if God is moving in you and it's evident, then why can't we do stuff together? Why can't we work together? Amen. So yeah, that's so cool for you to say that. Oh, I did have one more thing. I remember what it was. I did lose my train of thought.
One more thing.
Especially with your parents being pastors, and it's sometimes something I forget. Have you found it hard to sometimes remember, and maybe it might be easier for you because of your parents, to remember that pastors aren't perfect and they shouldn't be placed on this pedestal in terms of, like, we should hold them to a higher standard of being humans?
I found it very easy to remember.
That's why I said it might be different for you because of your parents, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think, it's crazy, man. It's crazy, and we talked about it a little bit at the beginning in the first part of this. Mm-hmm. Just the idea that leadership means perfection is so stupid. We're not perfect, and it's so much more fruitful to lead from a place of brokenness than it is to lead from a place of perfection. Because if I'm showing you that I'm broken, then you know that you're broken. And then it's like, and you know that, and like you want to join me on this walk and we can walk together and get fixed together and work on getting and growing in God together, you know, and flowing in God together. I found examples of people who are like me.
Yeah.
Have helped me so much more than somebody pretending to be this masculine six-pack godlike person. It's not real.
Yeah,
not real. Authenticity over perfection.
Awesome. I, you know, maybe I should have named that the title of my podcast. No, I'm just kidding. I think my title's still cool. The name of my podcast is still cool. But man, thank you for that. I really don't have any more questions, and plus it's getting late. Misa, I just want to thank you for taking the time out. You know, if you could pray, if there's one thing you could, you know, say to the listeners, and after that, close us in prayer, I'd really appreciate it.
Good luck. Good luck out there. There's a lot that goes with this walk.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels so hard and it feels so difficult sometimes, but I think recognizing that God is just so much bigger, so much mm-hmm. awesomer than anything that we could ever face. He is everything that we could ever need. Mm-hmm. He loves us, and that is so awesome.
Yeah.
Just God is great, man. I can't even begin to describe just how awesome God is and how awesome He's God been to me. And so if you're not Christian and you're listening, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. That's another weird Christian phrase that we say that you don't know the meaning of. But it's true. God is great. He has blessed me so much. And I'm not somebody who has just, like, yeah, I'm a pastor's kid, but I'm not somebody who's always been, like, just, like, straightforward about it. So I'm so glad that He has just forgiven me and been there for me. And I hope that anybody listening can recognize that he's there for you and willing to forgive you at any moment.
Thank you, man. If you could close that on prayer, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. God, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here with AB to talk on this really long but awesome podcast.
Thank you, Lord.
I pray, God, that your grace overflows in our hearts and our minds and that it outpours onto everybody listening. God, that everybody listening can grow just a little closer or a lot closer to you. That they can see you in the midst of this, God. That they can recognize that it doesn't matter where they are, who they are, that God loves them enough to accept them right now. And that he loves them so much, he's not willing to leave them right there, but help them grow closer to him evermore.
Yes, Lord.
I pray, Jesus, that you can overflow in us, that your spirit can continue to guide us every step, God. That Avi doesn't have any nightmares tonight.
Yes.
As he sleeps, God, that the bed bugs don't bite. But God, that your spirit moves strong in us, in spirit and truth, in laughter and joy and freedom and awesomeness, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hello? You still there?
Yeah, found you. Okay, found you.
Somebody gave me an actual call. So, Misa, thank you so much. Thank you for everybody who's listening. You have a good night, man. Thanks again.
Thanks, you, man. Good Take night. Care. You Bye. Too, bro.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.